welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's draw at Clyde, preview this Saturday's game against East Fife, and we'll hear from manager Jim McAnally, as well as Grant Savory and Flynn Duffy. I'm Colin Byers, and as always with me is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. A warm welcome, I should say, because it's bloody Baltic.
Yeah.
Freezing cold.
What would you expect in December?
I should
be acclimatised by now.
We really should. It's not a dig at my age, is it?
Not at all.
So I think we are. That's a wee thing. Right, let's just plough on then. We've got Clyde to have a look back on after Saturday. 2-2 draw in the end. Some folk will look at it as being a bit of a disappointing result, having been 2-0 up. Some might think, well, it's a decent point. What's your kind of overall thought on it then?
2 points dropped. You're 2-0 up, you're cruising in the game, and we speak about it a lot. In fact, by that, just right before half time, we concede a stupid penalty in the way we give it. We'll come on to that, I'm sure, but you know, the way we, you know, I was a bit disappointed that we are 2-0 up and cruising. And yeah, some people might look at it as a point game, but I do think that, you know, the teams in about us, if we're going to stay in the division, we've got to be beating them. And the fact that you are 2-0 up against a team I perceive that's got to be doing there with us, fighting out, then I think we've got to be winning.
Yeah, so we'll get into in a bit more detail. Just the one change from the previous game, Josh Mulligan come back in after his illness, Nia Payne. It was the one that dropped out, so it was reverted back to the 5-3-2, which I think is the perceived way forward. Yeah. I think now, I think we're if everybody's fit and available, I think that's the formation that he's going to go with, and it seems to be working.
Yeah, it's interesting how people perceive it. You perceive it as a 5-3-2. I think of it more of a 3-5-2. Yeah, people's got different, but I think that overall generally is the way that Jim's going to go, and that, to a large degree, I think it does work to an extent.
Yeah, probably is more of a 3-5-2. Would you see Mulligan and Duffy bombing back to the two wings? So it probably is more of a 3-5-2. 5-3-2 maybe sounds a bit more defensive, but it seems to be working. The other thing as well, obviously, now that certain people are available as well, the bench itself was strong. Lyle Cameron, Nia Payne, Ryan Duncan, finally seen him. Danny Sarkham's on the bench, Jordan Brown was on the bench, Derek Lyle's on the bench. It's a strong bench as well.
Yeah, it's the first time we've been able to name seven subs for quite a while as well. I think the other week it was down to four players, and even then two of them weren't really that fit. Yeah, it's good, as we've said numerous times, there is quality in the squad, and I think you've seen that on Saturday by the depth that you've got on the bench.
We should also say Lenny Wilson was on the bench as well, but obviously talking more about the kind of outfield players that would be available, and any of these guys would probably get into the team as well if any of those 11 that started weren't available.
Yeah, like we said a couple of weeks ago, through it, injuries and suspensions, there was a couple of changes, and you know, the likes of Danny Strachan, he came in. Could probably count himself a wee bit unlucky that he's gone back to being on the bench, but I'm sure if these guys are called upon, they'll see it as a chance to set down a marker and get themselves back in the team.
So the game was started, I thought it was pretty even, both looking to attack, I think, both I think recognised the importance of the game in terms of getting that win. Had Peterhead won the game, also that stretches the gap on Clyde then know that if they win, they actually go above Peterhead. And also, you know, keeping East Fife at bay as well. So I think in the early stages, that certainly came across.
I think it was one of them games that both managers wanted to win, but I think if you'd offered them both a point at the start of the game, they might have taken it. I don't think it was the sort of game that either manager really wanted to lose, mm-hmm. for the reasons you've just mentioned for both sides. So I think the fact that we were 2-0 up and then we've drawn 2-2, from my side, I think I'm a bit disappointed, but for Danny Lennon's side, he's probably thinking, well, we're 2-0 down against a team that's got to be running about us. He's probably more happier with the point.
I think Danny Lennon, out of the two managers, would have been more happy with the win prior to the game starting.
Yeah. And
how bad things have been going for them, especially getting knocked out by Clyde Bunk in the Cup, which think we mentioned it. Afford, did we?
We could certainly recap it.
We could have a thing. They definitely got beat by Clyde Burke in the Scottish Cup. I know that. Our old friend Ali Love was heavily involved in the game, as you'd expect, and maybe not in the right manner in terms of play, but he had a couple of early chances, which I think was the only real chances they had. He had a free kick, which went well over, produced another save for Brett Long as well. He just winds you up the wrong way. He's one of that players that I think Clyde fans will like him because he winds up other players and other, but he was the last person you wanted to score.
He's one of them players you love him when he's in your team, but the other nine teams that he's playing against, opposition fans aren't overly keen on him, shall we say. It's a bit like the Scott Brown situation, is it? You love him when he's in your team and for Scotland, but if you're playing against him, you do not like him.
Andy McCarthy, I thought, did a great job on him, though, because he kind of got him wound up a little bit as well, and to the point for... I actually thought Love at one point maybe should have gotten a booking for a dissent, but the referee was that poor anyway, I think he would have missed it. Regardless,
you can imagine my shock at poor officiating in League One.
So the opening goal came from Russell McLean, and a nice wee turn of volley inside the box, in off the bar, and it was good play by Scott Brown, I think, on the right hand side to create the opportunity.
As we said a couple of weeks ago, once Russell McLean gets a goal, you fancy him to go out a wee bit of a run. You've seen that with his confidence the other week he was playing. Yeah, it's good to see him on the score sheet again. As you said, took his goal well. Good play by Scott on the right-hand side. And at that point, probably just about edged it by being in front, I think, as well.
At that stage as well, a lot of the good play was coming down the right-hand side, especially for Mulligan. I mean, Mulligan just picks up the ball and he just runs past their full-back with relative ease. And then, as we saw in the second half, as we'll come to as well, Flynn Duffy was doing it at the opposite side, so it was just so much. It seemed so easy to go down that side that it wasn't a surprise that the goal came for that side.
I think in recent times before Mulligan was here, you would get to a wide area, but players seemed to want to come back inside. Whereas with Flynn Duffy natural left foot and Josh Mulligan naturally right footed, I think you do that here, that option that players will drive on. And again, it's maybe something that League One clubs do not deal that often, so it's probably trickier to defend against.
And that's now 3-3 for Rusty. So, as you just touching on what you said, once he gets that one, he does seem to go on a bit of a run. He hadn't scored in his previous four, so it's just that one and just keeps ticking over and ticking over. I mean, it's now a bad record he's got overall. I think it's 8-21, I think it is, this season he's got. So
he's definitely a confidence player.
Yes,
once he gets one, he will go on a little bit of a run. It's when he's gone two or three games and they scoring a bit. Even in them games that he's not scoring, he is getting chances, but because he's so eager to score, he's maybe snatching it, or he maybe takes it too early, or the chance goes. But yeah, he's a confidence player, and once he gets one or two, you can see him going on a run for three, four games.
And I did think that was one of his better performances this season as well, and since maybe put the Alloa game early on in the season. Everything it was being thrown up to him, it was sticking, he looked strong, even with the ball at his feet, he was taking people on, he was creating opportunities for other people. He's probably frustrated that he's only gotten the one goal, but I mean, that's a good sign, I guess.
Yeah, and as you said, he's got the one, it just keeps that confidence ticking over. And again, as you go into these five games at the weekend, it's good that your strikers are scoring, because they've got that confidence within them.
Typical Peterhead, almost, I would say. Within about a minute of going ahead, we almost concede a penalty. This is hotly contested, I would suggest, within the ground. Jones was, Rob Jones, who, if you'll remember for the game at Hame, when he came on, caused a lot of problems. He went doing it inside the box, and he was given a booking for diving. I actually thought it was a penalty, to be honest. I think we've gotten away with that one. The sheer shock of Jones's reaction would suggest that he maybe was, but maybe he was playing for it. But out of the two, which will come to the second one, I think this one's more of a penalty.
Certainly, I think it was a booking. The fact that you perceive it to be a penalty and the referee is given a booking, it's difficult. I think a referee's almost got to be 110% sure that it's a dive before they take out a booking. It's not something you see too often. They'd rather just wave it away and not give a penalty, but to actually give a yellow card as well for diving, the referee must have had a really good view to be so convinced.
I think that decision maybe comes into play with the next one, which again we'll come on to. So we get away with that one, and then on about 30 minutes we go 2-0 up, Grant Savory getting his first goal, which was absolutely delighted because he's thoroughly deserved it in his games that he's been playing so far. Talk about Rusty. Brilliant play for him on the left hand side. Picked the ball up about halfway line and just kept running and running and running. Got to the byline, but not only did he get to the byline, he managed to pick out Grant Savory across as well.
I think that's the most important bit. He's done the hard work on the wing, but as you said, he's managed to pick out a player. He's not just lumped into an area, and it's good to see Rusty and Grant Savory combining and linking up with each other. As you said, I've been impressed with Grant since he came in, even a couple of sub appearances right at the start, but yeah, we felt there was quality there, and it's good to see he's got a goal. I think his form over the last couple of weeks has deserved it, and again, you're just hoping along with Rusty they've got that goal that they can just kick on and try and get a couple more.
It was the easiest of finishes. I mean, if you ever want a goal to be your first one, other than being like a 30-yard pinger, that's the easiest. Just nice, easy tap in, open net, and just stroke it in. And he was absolutely delighted. And as I said, he's deserved it.
Yeah, he's played the last couple of weeks have been really good. Even playing in positions that he's not that familiar with, he still gives a really good shift. And I think over this last 6-7 weeks, he certainly deserved that goal. And as you said, it's fine. It's a fine one for him. It's a nice tap in, and hopefully it'll give him the confidence for going forward.
And it was not just the confidence with him as well, but the confidence seemed to be flowing through the team as well. And it was nice, free flowing, one touch, two touch football. I mean, we was getting in behind Clyde so many times. As I said, Mulligan up one side, and then Duffy was getting involved as well. You could see Andy McDonald getting forward at points as well. So the confidence started to just build.
To be fair, Andy McDonald scored for about 60 yards this season. A couple of weeks back. Yeah, but that's the thing. As we've said before, once we do get a couple of goals, we've seen it the other month. Dumbarton was up okay. The wind played a huge factor in that game. But when you were 3-4-0, the confidence, the one-touch passing, it's there. It's just getting the group, they're a young group, it's just getting them to date on a mere regular, consistent basis. But on the flip side, it is a young group and that you do get inconsistency. But it was good on Saturday to see them, that confidence coming through and then popping it about nicely.
And Jones again got involved, producing a save from Brett Long, another wonderful save right on, well, we thought it was right on half time. It was on 45 minutes. The reason for so much injury time at the end of the first half was the injury to Cunningham, who was down for quite a long spell before getting stretchered off, so hence with the 5 minutes. But when you talk about getting a young team and where we're at, and I think this is what's stopping us from being higher up the league. I think it is our individual mistakes are still creeping in, not as much during a game, but this one obviously cost us quite a bit. It's game management, you know, just seeing the half out. It's all you really need today. You know, Hamish Richards picked up the bar, and I don't know why he's decided to play it square where virtually it's the end of the half.
Yeah,
just get it forward. Even if you just lump it into space, the referee's probably just going to, if it goes to Parry, he's just going to lump it, and then the referee's going to blow the whistle. It's a sloppy pass, and then all of a sudden, you know, Goodwill is in. He just needs half a sniff. Now this one, I don't think it's a penalty. I think he's been absolutely clever with this one. But and as we'll hear from Jim's audio later on, the fact that Brett Long goes down gives the referee that kind of bit of doubt.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, game management, and I think we go just mentioned about the confidence in the players. There's a fine line between confidence and complacency. And I just think that was a little bit of complacency by Hamish. As you said, it was a square ball, it didn't really need to be played. I mean, even looking back, it's only sure face quite trying today. Mm. Fye's trying to pick out. It's like a nothing area.
Yeah.
In terms of our play, as you said, just lump into an area or a cross ball but nail on the deck. And yeah, it's a loose pass. They've picked it up, and I think the angle that you see it, the fact that Brett Long's gone down, it just gives the referee that decision to make based on the fact maybe the earlier one as well. It's maybe playing his mind, as you said.
I actually initially thought he was going to book him for diving as well, which I think comes back to the previous one, because
yeah.
I think if he books Goodwillie for a dive, I guess for a second dive, well, obviously not his second dive, but as a second Clyde player to be booked for diving, that kind of maybe flags up a little bit. But if he thinks it's a dive, give it as a dive.
Yeah.
I 100% think it was. I don't think Brett makes contact, but it's just that thing where Brett goes doing, doesn't need to. Stand up, on your feet, shard him out.
Yeah.
It's probably going out for a goal kick, anyway.
Yeah.
But it's just the decision making.
Referees will never admit it, whether they do or whether they don't, but there is certain decisions that you think in their head that's maybe playing on them previously in the game. And I do think the fact that Clive got a booking earlier on in the first half played into the referee's mind. I think the fact that Brett's gone down as well, it just, the referee's maybe going through a checklist in his head and thought, it's warrant enough of a penalty. Like you, I'm not convinced it is. But on the flip side, when your keeper goes down in the way that player's gone down, you sort of leave it up to the referee's interpretation.
You just feel that, if he'd missed the penalty, then so be it. But obviously, he scores the penalty. You just feel that 2-0 at half time, it's a completely different second half. Because and even at 2-0, even before Goodwillie had scored, the Clyde fans were getting absolutely on top of the team, they were getting on top of Danny Lennon, which was quite entertaining to watch, to be fair. But you just get, if it was 2-0 at half time, the boos would have been ringing out from the Clyde support. When they come out for the second half, unless they'd gotten out off to a flyer, that would have just built up and built up and built up to the point where the stadium probably would have emptied, and we could have probably gone on to win that fairly comfortably.
I think there was 6-7 seconds in that game that completely changed it, and it was the loose pass by Hamish Ritchie, the penalty decision, and then it being converted, either referee pointing to the spot. And as you said, had they missed it 2-0, I think we'd have gone on to be fine in the game. I think we would have controlled it. But the fact that 2-1 against a team that you didn't really want to lose to, you see a lot of things playing your mind as players, and yeah, I think that was a massive turning point. As you said, it's about game management. And you're just looking for, again, it's a young group, but you're just looking for the more experienced players. It's crazy to think Jason Brown, he's 25, but he's an experienced player. You're needing these sort of guys to, Andy McDonald, even young player, but they are experienced, the amount of games they've got under their belt. Just try and see the game out, encourage the players through it. Scott Brown as well, massive player, but game management at that time, I think that's where we lost the game in terms of they getting the 3 points, was that 5-6 seconds there.
Yeah, and what, 5 minutes after half time, it was 2-2. I mean, Goodwillie again. He's so out with the game in terms of, like, he just doesn't look interested, but he finds little pockets of space. Yeah. He's very, very good at that. I mean, that obviously comes to for playing it. He played for Scotland at one point. I mean, he is still a decent player. But he knows that, Jason Brown's going to mark him at the game, or David Wilson's going to mark him at the game, even Andy McDonald on the left hand side is probably going to mark him at the game. So he just drifts into these little spaces. And funnily enough, the goal comes from Warren Corner.
Yeah.
And he's in a weird position, because he's not actually defending the corner, but he's not up either.
Yeah.
So he's not there, he doesn't need to worry about him. Within a flash, a ball's up the other end, and it's in the back of the net.
It's amazing to watch. It's experience at a brilliant level that he's done, because, as you said, he's not defending, he's not attacking. As soon as Clyde get the ball, he's still not really interested until the first pass comes out the box, and then he goes across. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go forward, he goes across.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point, because obviously he's opened up his body to be able to see where the ball's coming from, and it's at that moment that you know that Goodwillie's wanting the ball, but our defenders, they didn't pick him up because obviously he's going to cross goal rather than forward. It's brilliant play for Goodwillie. It's poor from our point of view, but as we said last week, if you keep Goodwillie quiet, you win the game. And Goodwillie's got the goals, and that's the frustrating bit. As you said, he didn't really look interested in the game. He still got two goals.
I think if you look at the goal as well, as soon as he gets the ball in the edge of the box, he was going to knock it across and try and find that far corner. You look at it and say, well surely, Brett doesn't even move. Whether or not he took it that early, or if he just kind of catched him off guard a little bit, you have to put your hands up and say it was a really good finish.
Yeah, it's a good finish, but I certainly think that it is frustrating from our point of view, but as I said, it's really good play for Goodwillie. And the fact that you could see if it was going to happen, but you kind of stop it, I think that's a frustrating bit. But as you said, it's at 5 minutes, right before half time, 5 minutes after, and it completely changed the game.
We sort of weathered a kind of, I wouldn't say a storm, but you just kind of thought, oh,
topical at the moment.
Maybe shouldn't say that. They just kind of felt that if they sneaked a third, they probably would have deserved it. But after we weathered that, what's another word for storm? Something else. We were on top again. I mean, Scott Brown had dragged a shot wide, and this is the one that everybody's going to be talking about, is Rossi hitting a bar, edge of the box. Brilliant play for him again. Hitting the underside of the bar. I think if you talk about how good Willie's goal would have been, certainly a goal of the season contender. And then Mulligan again heavily involved second half. He was put through by Brown as well and just pokes it wide. I said just wide. I think in the end it was a good sort of five yards wide. But you'd have rather it had been Mulligan playing in Brown in that position, because I think Brown would have had a bit more kind of composure to finish it off. But again, it's Mulligan who's like almost playing like a centre forward at one point. Just that free flowing fit by Abdi's confident. Everybody wants to kind of get involved.
When you've conceded two goals, it's good to see that confidence is still there. But as you said, Rusty hitting the bar is at small margins. And you think if that had happened in the first half, all hypothetical of course, but you think it might have gone in, the luck was on our side, the game slightly changed with the two goals in Clyde's favour. But as you say, it was good that we were still willing to go forward. We didn't sort of settle and we'll take a point after being 2-0 up. We'll try to win the game. It's just frustrating that we didn't.
Another huge opportunity. I don't know if it was a cross or a shot. Mulligan flashed a ball across the face of the goal. Maya Payne just missing it, not making no contact. Again, Rusty was maybe on the penalty spot looking for it, and he certainly let Mulligan know he was available after he flashed the ball across. But it's just again, we talk about fine margins. It's just if he was a couple of inches longer, he would have gotten contact and that would have trickled in as well.
Yeah, it's small margins. It just shows you how key a player Josh Mulligan is. Getting on the score sheet, trying to set things up. His pace, as you said, caused Clyde numerous problems throughout the game. And as you said, if Niall was just a little bit taller, he would have gotten on the end of it. But yeah, one of them things, you prefer Rossi to be there instead.
Yeah.
And swapping over. But yeah, I still feel overall it's 2 points dropped from the day.
It's going to be a strange thing to say, but considering we conceded two goals, but I thought the back three were probably as good as they have been since we started playing us. Jason in particular was just so good against Jones before he was substituted, that that's the basis of where we need to be. If we've got a good solid defence, then we can start building. We've got plenty of attacking options, plenty of players that can create. It's just getting that solid base at the back, and I think with that back three now full of confidence after the disaster of the Cove game, now built up that confidence again, and with Brett behind them as well, I think there's a good basis to go on and build on these performances.
I think the formation suits the back three, because I feel that they've got a wee bit more protection in the wider areas. For us, before we it being a back four, it's argument's sake, so you had Duffy on one side and Mulligan on the other. These are players, as we've seen, that like to get forward. Sometimes felt the defence was a wee bit exposed. So having that three sitting defenders and then your two full-backs, I think it gives them a wee bit more protection. I think they've got more confidence as well in the side. So yeah, as you said, the formation sort of suiting the players. And it's something we felt would happen, that eventually Jim would sort of settle on a formation, a team that he's happy with, and I think we're starting to see the maybe Nate I was the right result, but I certainly think performances the last couple of weeks out with the Cove game have certainly picked up.
I might live to regret from what I say here, but I think we are on a cusp of putting on a decent run. The performances is there, it's just if we can just, you know, get rid of that individual mistakes and the teams that we're playing against next, you know, we've got East Fife, then Dumbarton, then Montrose. I think we could get, you know, minimum 6-7 points out of those games if we continue to play the way that we are.
Yeah, putting performances like we have done the last couple of weeks, I'm more optimistic now of getting favourable results. As we've said before, there's nae an easy game in the division, but I certainly think if you are got aspirations of, you know, being clear of relegation, that's a game, as you said, you've got to pick up minimum 6-7 points.
Right, so the end of the 2-2, we'll now get the thoughts of the manager, Jim McNally, and here's what he had to say.
I thought we played better in the second half than we did in the first half. I thought we had some good counter-attacks in the first half. I thought that there was loads of the game in the first half I wasn't enjoying, because we should have been doing better with the opportunities that we had. But I felt as though we should have kept the ball better. We should have... But listen, they say that we could have maybe 3 or 4 on. But they didn't need any help to get back in the game, and that's no penalty. And in fact, one of the players says that the referee actually initially never even gave a penalty, can't give a little kid. And I think he changed his mind, so for me it's never a penalty. I gave them a massive lift coming in at half time. Kind of I changed the dynamics of the game a wee bit. And then obviously the equalising, you think we could build here, you know, this young team, but no, they didn't, you know, they get back in here again. They pushed. We just didn't have it. Get that final pass, we were a bit careless again, the final pass. Russell's man could have been, you know, this the man has the bar. So, no, I was delighted with their attitude and the way we kept going.
Definitely
a couple
of
connections for I'm sick, fed up. Talk about referees, and in fact, there was a foul against us in the halfway line where I think Grant nearly kicked took the boy's head off, and he waved Cleo, and he just kind of gone, you know, I don't know what I'm saying, but just fed up. I mean, that's never a penalty. In fact, Brett could have stayed on his feet, probably, and I think he was. It was nearly 5 minutes or something like that, wasn't it? It was 4 or 5 minutes. And he told the players at the throw-in earlier that that was the half finish, and he just waited, you know. So it's frustrating. But, as I say, we could have thrown the towel in as far as we could have, but we didn't. And we showed great energy, and we just kept coming, I thought, you know.
How pleased was you with the combination at McLaren and Seve? They seemed to combine quite well.
I wasn't delighted, but, I mean... I think that's as good as a few Russell play for a while. Grant beat his goal, he's been frustrated, he's not scored, but when he gets into the middle of the park, he looks a right good midfield player. So,
Dougie, your problem because he's played so well in two different positions?
I think he's a problem, or is it a good problem?
Aye.
But, I mean, that's twice he's played there against Queen's Park, and then I thought when it ended the day, it was really good to me. You know, just play on the ball and can buy people, but the way he even defends for the middle of the park, he did as well. So no, they're happy problems. But as I said to some of the boys in there, you just need to look who's sitting on the bench now.
I think, as he said in his audio there, he's quite fed up with these refereeing decisions. But he's pleased with, and I think you mentioned it as well, is that the attitude of the young guys by, you know, just keep going, and the attitude just to Nate wilt under a hostile environment, if you like.
Yeah, being been quick to criticise when things haven't been going right for the young guys, but you know, give them credit as well. As you said in the second half, their heads didn't drop, even going from 2-0 up to drawing 2-2. They were trying to make things happen, and there is a bit of a confidence and a swagger about them, which is good to see. You're just hoping that continues and they keep a run going, because when their heads do go down, it's difficult to pick them up. But Jim's managed to do that, and his backroom team give them credit. And you're just hoping that young group will come together with experience over the next couple of months.
And he was quick, adamant it wasn't a penalty. He was quick, he didn't. I think he was a bit reserved in what he was trying to say without getting himself in bother, I think.
Yeah, he will get reprimanded by the SFA and whatnot. As far as refereeing, we've touched on it many times, not just this season, but in previous seasons. It frustrates me that a referee will have a poor game and he gets dropped to Championship, League One, League Two. A manager has bad couple of games and the face of sack, and same with players, they get dropped and then they get to play, yet referees just get dropped in the division. I think if there's poor refereeing, it needs to be highlighted, and there needs to be better programmes for coaching and training them. Jim's fed up mentioning it as well. People are probably fed up listening to us speaking about it as well. But at the same time, it's got to be highlighted that, you know, refereeing has been poor, not just for Peter Reid, for other teams as well. You just look in forums and you'll see teams aren't happy with certain referees. But you're starting to see a pattern with referees as well. It's the same names that are cropping up. I think there is a wider picture that needs to be looked at.
Okay, we'll get thoughts of the couple of players then. We'll hear from Grant Savory, but first of all, we'll hear from defender Flynn Duffy.
Okay, frustrating result in the end, then, Flynn, was it?
Yeah, the boys have got it. Bitterly disappointed that we couldn't keep the 2-goal lead. Away from home, a fairly tough venue, you'd 2-2 draw would be okay, but I think we gave ourselves a great chance to go win the game. And I actually thought we played better in the second half, even though we conceded the goal, but bitterly disappointing. We should have got the 3 points.
Having got yourself in that kind of lead and going into half time, was that the disappointing thing, conceding that goal?
Yeah, we conceded in the last kick of the first half, which we should just manage the game better. I think Hamish tries to play a pass, and in hindsight you could say you better just kick it up, but he didn't, and we conceded a penalty, a sloppy penalty. But we came in at half time 2-1 up. You'd still be happy with that if you didn't concede at the end of half time, but we just couldn't keep him out in the second half.
In your opinion, was it a penalty then, or was he clever?
I think he was clever. I think Brett doesn't make any contact, or if he does, it's very minimal. But I couldn't really see it that well. I'd have to watch it back.
But Craig played in the second half as well. Rusty hitting the bar. Josh had a couple of shots as well.
I thought they were both class today. It's just didn't really get any luck. Rusty hits the bar, unbelievable strike, and Josh just glides past players for fun, and if he tucks one away, we're cruising.
And both yourself and Josh at the other side seem to be getting a lot of crosses in, getting by the fullbacks fairly easy.
Well, that's what the gaffer wants. Gaffer and David, they always encourage us to get forward. They don't like us playing it back, and we've got a big huge striker in the box, so why not cross it?
Is that a good sign then that you're disappointed with coming here and getting a draw?
I think so. We didn't get beat. We're away from home, didn't get beat. We've had a decent last couple of weeks. We were confident coming into this game, but even though we didn't win today, we've got to keep our confidence high because we've got another big one next week.
So, first of all, positive. You've got your first goal at long last. How pleased are you with that?
Yeah, no, I'm delighted to get my first goal, but obviously disappointed not to get the win. I think the boys deserved it. I think the first half we came out were really good, positive. Came at them, and then obviously lose a goal before half time that kind of kills us a little bit. Second half we were good, but I think they turned up a bit more in the second half, which made it a little bit more even. They get the penalty, probably wasn't a penalty, but there was a lot of decisions both ways that I don't think were great. But it's another draw, another point, but yeah, delighted to get my goal anyways.
Does that change the complex of the game, that penalty late on half time?
Yeah, definitely. I think we were completely on top. I think even though we could have still played better, I think they weren't at it at all, and then obviously that penalty gives them that little bit of belief just before half time. So yeah, it definitely changes the game.
And you're getting a lot of minutes under your belt now as well. It's another 90 minutes, so how pleased are you with that, and how's your fitness coming along as well?
Yeah, no, really good. I think it's definitely something I need, just as many minutes as possible. I think towards the start I felt my fitness, but now I'm starting to feel in 90 minutes, and I think it's definitely paying off. Obviously I get my goal, but still got to try and get 3 points at the end of the day. But yeah, definitely fitter.
Confidence building as well, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I think the more minutes you play, the more comfortable you feel, and then you go into the game more confident each week, so definitely.
Okay. It was a bit of breezy kind of after the game, as you could tell. Grant, as we said earlier on, got his first goal. He was brilliant, I thought, playing up front. And then once Naya comes on, he drops at midfield, and he's a cross between Scott Brown and Andy McCarthy, whereas he can get forward, he can bomb forward, but he can also he likes a tackle as well. He was getting himself involved as well. So as Jim was saying, and his audio, it gives him another problem. You know, does he play him up front? Does he play him as a number 10, or does he play him in midfield? These are all good problems to have, though.
I remember a couple of months ago Jim telling us there would be Neymar signings coming in, the deals were done, and then Grant Savory comes in, but delighted that he has come in, because he's a really good player. You can tell, even just by coming off the bench in the first couple of games, that he was a good player. There's definitely quality there. And again, as you mentioned, once he's getting game time, he's getting more confidence. I think now that he's got that goal as well, he'll hit a bit with a swagger. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does get a couple more goals between now and Christmas and just start chipping in, because I think he's a really good player. I like what he's got to offer.
It's that old school thing of, you know, two up front, a big man and a little man. You know,
yeah.
It's that combination, and it seemed to be. And it was actually quite interesting that because it's very rare nowadays you'll see it, but both teams played two up front, and it's just such a rarity in the modern game. But you know, for a period aspect of it, having McLean playing so well and Savory playing so well as well, and then Naya coming on as well, and he played well enough as well in the 30 minutes or 25 minutes that he played. You know, everybody's fighting to get into that starting 11 again.
Yeah, you're absolutely bang on. I think players have now realised, if they weren't aware before, that there's a lot of quality in the squad. I think they are aware now, and if you want to keep your place, you've got to play well. You've got to chip in with things, whether it's tackles or, you know, assists and goals. And I think we will see the benefit of it, because, as you said, there's players on the bench, you know, Jordan Brown, and you've got Danny Strachan. These are guys that could easily come in and do a job, but at the moment they're sitting on the bench because there's players ahead of them.
So, funnily enough, we actually moved up the table with that point, because we move above Dumbarton and goal difference. So we're now in seventh. We're 6 points above East Fife. Crucially, we're still a point ahead of Clyde as well. And as we've said earlier on, we now play these teams. It's round about. It's a big big month for us.
Yeah, I think December's one of our biggest months. As you said, it's teams round about us, and if we've got any aspirations of biding clear of relegation and they worrying about it come April, May, then these are the games, as you said earlier, you've got to pick up 6-7 points minimum.
So before we move on to the next game, Scottish Cup, we'll just briefly touch on that. Obviously last week we didn't know who we were playing. We now know who we're playing in the next round of the Cup. It's another Lowland League team in East Kilbride. Certainly chalking us up to being a winnable tie rather than a big tie, a money spinning tie.
Yeah, it's as we said, you either want the money spinning tie or you want a favourable draw. The usual cliches will come out, we've got to be professional, you can lose a game before it, but that is nothing that will surprise Jim, Davey and the team, that they've got to be well prepared, because you know, you can come up against teams from the Lowland League that are really, really good. I'll be expecting a somewhat sort of tough game, but again, you give them the right attitude and the form that we're in just now, you know, you'd like to think that a couple more results would be in a good shape going into that game.
And I think it makes a difference as well, it's a home tie as well.
Yeah,
I think it's, you know, I know we won 3-0 at Civil, but the red card obviously helped that one. Whereas I think if we go to somewhere like East Kilbride, it's almost stacked up. Everything's going to be against us. Whereas I think the home tie, it'd be, I wouldn't say it's easier, but you certainly would prefer it to be at home.
against these teams. I think it's more favourable if you get a home draw. As you said, if we'd gone away to East Kilbride, you would certainly, the odds would be a lot shorter for us to win. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of them bookies would look at being a potential banana skin. And as I said, last time when we played Civil Service Rollers, you know, some of them teams, that is their cup final, and they'll raise their game. But again, if we're professional enough and going with the right attitude, then I don't see many reasons why we couldn't go through into the next round.
Of course, we'll come on to that more in detail next month, in January, when we play them. But our next game is at home to East Fife. Last home game of the year, incredibly. The year's fairly flown in by, but this is the last one, so we kind of hope to end the year on a high and get a win, as we said, against a team who are struggling at the minute, but a new manager in place.
Yeah, you get that new manager bounce, do you? Or they're hoping for it. Obviously, we are not, but our record against East Fife is not great in recent times, is it? Putting it politely. But make no bones about it, I think anything other than a win is a poor result. Because as I said, it's teams round about us, you've got to be beating the teams round about us. And I think, yeah, it's anything other than a win will be classed as a poor result.
Yeah, new manager Stevie Crawford got a draw against Alawa. You know, Jamie Semple scored an 80th minute equaliser, so I don't know if that's regarded as a good result for them, because Alawa's, you know, a bit hot and cold. Would they have taken a draw? They probably would have.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he lines up. But the last time we played him, we were absolutely torn apart. You know, we were going to beat 3-0 in a game that we didn't really expect it to be that bad. Because if you remember, they hadn't won a game all season.
The weekend did.
And then, you know, we get beat 3-0 there, and then they come up here for the cup to the next set, and then they beat us again.
Yeah,
I think this will be a totally different game altogether.
Yeah, I think both teams are at different stages now. I can see Stevie Crawford's gone in, and you'll be looking at building that draw with Alawa, but the confidence that's in the team now. We're 2-0 up and drew on Saturday, but I do think there is more confidence in the squad now. Everybody's playing for a position. And again, that just creates a better atmosphere as well. So I think it's a game we can certainly win. And as I said, it's certainly one that I think we should be winning.
And it's probably one of those games as well where you look at it and you go, OK, we played so well first half, or for large parts of the game against Clyde, that you probably didn't need to make any changes.
No, I think it would be pretty much the same for me. I don't think I'd be making any changes barring any injury. Injuries that crop up over the next couple of days, I'd be keeping it the same as, and just let them pay that freedom to go and play.
Kyle Connell is their top scorer with 4 goals. He's on loan for Killie, so they're not blessed with goals. They just seem to keep them up for the PRE games. But you know, they've still got plenty of players. We mentioned Semple, Connell there as well. And Dunsmore, you know, there's loads of players in that squad that, you know, they maybe just needed a change of management just to get them going again.
I wouldn't be surprised if their attacking play is better under Stevie Crawford. I thought he's a really good player when he did play. Good career at Dunfermline, got quite a few goals. I wouldn't be surprised if they've got maybe a slightly different approach than Fit Darren Younghead. I felt Darren was made of a cautious sort of manager, didn't throw too much caution to win for us. I think Stevie Crawford might be the opposite. He'd rather win the game 4-3 than try and hold on to a 1-0. So certainly I think it'll be a different sort of East Fife we're playing. But as I said, if we focus on us and we go out with the way we've been playing in the last couple of weeks, then I see no reason why we shouldn't win.
And you say there about keeping an eye on ourselves and just dealing with anything, but the fixtures elsewhere will obviously come into play as well, because Dumbarton play Montrose and Clyde play Alawa, so again, that's, you know, the fixtures that are round about us. If we fail to get anything out of this game, suddenly we drop down. Whereas, you know, if we can get a win, well, then we're moving up the table. And so we mentioned it numerous times as well, but how tight it is, and just, you know, maintaining that momentum and trying to go up the table but just, you know, having an eye on what's happening around about you as well.
Yeah, it's typical. You watch the game on a Saturday, and then the first thing you do is check the scores elsewhere, because you kind of win can put you up 2-3 places, but equally a defeat and you can be down 2 or 3 places depending on the fixtures. But as we said, the fixtures coming up are more favourable, should I say. And as you mentioned, you're looking for at least 6-7 points.
And as I said earlier on, we're 6 points above East Fife at the minute. I mean, we could be down. It could only be 3.
Yeah.
The way it is. And, you know, as you said, under a new manager as well, things will be slightly different. But if we play the way we did, certainly first half against Clyde, I think we should be able to win this one comfortably.
Yeah, I'm like you. I think we should be winning, and I've got more confidence in the last couple of weeks based on performances that I think we'll be fine on Saturday.
Yeah, so it is the last one, the last home win of the year as well. So hopefully, there's plenty of Peterhead supporters in the ground as well, because it would be nice to kind of just to get everybody back in again. And as I said, this festive period is. It's always a funny one. You know, we've got the game against Montrose was moved, so we didn't have that Boxing Day away trip anywhere, which is I guess is fine, because everybody gets to pig out on Christmas Day a wee bit in there. So it'll be nice to see a good kind of 500, 600, 700 in the ground on Saturday.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's the last home game of the season. The other year. season flash by there. Yeah, it's the last home game of the year. It's come around really quick, considering where we were in January, February. There was no football at all for lockdown, so we've come a long way as well. And as you said, it's nice to see a few extra people on the ground.
Yep, so on that note then, we will end it there. Do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, thanks to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week, so until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Burrows, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.